We need to explain this. The price of oil soars, even though OPEC is set to pump a lot more. David Brancaccio in New York. Officials from the oil producers' cartel, OPEC, are meeting in Vienna and are telegraphing hints that they will increase output amid rising global demand for fossil fuel. But the market reaction at first here seems paradoxical. A promise of more supply should bring down prices, yet the benchmark for crude in New York is up sharply this morning, up 2.8% at $67.35 a barrel right now. It's also up in Europe 2.2%. We need an expert to try to explain this. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York.
I think there's probably a few moving pieces here. One is that we had better than expected economic data out of the Eurozone this morning. They're talking about a second quarter rebound in Europe. And of course, you know, that's a good 15% of the global economy. So it makes a difference. But I think even more than that, it's that OPEC Plus, which is what we're calling this, you know, OPEC Russia and others, this agreement is to increase production by 1 million barrels a day, but they probably only have enough productive capacity to increase output by half that much. And I think that's the bigger factor.
The White House has announced a plan to overhaul the federal government. As we've reported, merging the labor and education departments is in that plan. Health and Human Services would get the word welfare in its title. And the administration would like to privatize the mortgage firms Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They've been under close government control since the financial crisis. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra is here with more.
There are lots of big ideas in this plan. The Trump administration wants to merge entire federal agencies, to privatize the post office. And there's also this bit about Fannie and Freddie. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are mortgage firms. They were created by Congress decades ago, and they exist to keep the housing market moving. They don't do the lending themselves. The banks do that. But they buy those mortgages from the banks. They then pull the mortgages together, sell them off to investors, and guarantee that they'll pay up if a homeowner doesn't. And the idea is that by buying these mortgages, Fannie and Freddie are giving the banks money they can use to make more loans. But Fannie and Freddie got into trouble during the financial crisis, and the government took them over. It gave them about $188 billion in bailout money. They have paid that back and then some in dividends, but now the Trump administration says it wants to make them fully private.
So not government or quasi-government, but private, like Citibank or something.
Yep, they would be private companies. They'd be overseen by a federal regulator. And they would get a government guarantee on these mortgages they've repackaged and sold, but only in certain instances. The thinking is that by privatizing Fannie and Freddie, you'd allow other companies to compete with them. Those companies would also get that government guarantee. And this is still in the proposal stage. Congress would have to approve it. So maybe this will happen, maybe not.
Marketplace's Marielle Segarra, thank you very much. ABC has decided to do the Roseanne show without Roseanne. Most of the actors from the series, minus Roseanne Barr, after her racist tweet was seen as a tweet too far, Roseanne will have no creative input and is reportedly not a financial participant. John in Minneapolis, Minnesota, wrote to say how much he enjoys our coverage of the economy and that Marketplace helps him make strong arguments and combat misinformation about financial matters. To join John in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible. As the job market improves and unemployment keeps falling, more people are finding work for the first time or getting back to work after longer stretches of unemployment. Today, a look at the job market for people with disabilities. From Marketplace's Bureau in Portland, Oregon, here's Mitchell Hartman.
New Seasons Market operates 25 grocery stores on the West Coast. Staffing director Dana Pratt says with unemployment so low, the company's focusing recruitment on groups that traditionally face obstacles to employment, including people with disabilities.
We really have to hire for attitude and capabilities and build partnerships with other people who can help us source applicants, train applicants who wouldn't come to us otherwise.
According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, there are 6 million people with disabilities in the workforce. The percentage of them who are unemployed has fallen by nearly half since 2011 to about 8%. At the Oregon Commission for the Blind, Ruth Lazari teaches job seekers how to use assistive technology, like this screen reader that speed reads computer text.
So are you supposed to actually be able to
understand?
That's a good question.
We're looking at people getting as efficient as they can and competitive. So the faster you can listen to it, the faster you can complete your work tasks.
Samrawit Biazin has done the training. She's been blind since she was a child growing up in Ethiopia. She recently completed an accounting degree and landed a job at PricewaterhouseCoopers after navigating job fairs and networking events.
It's really hard as a blind person because there are so many noises and you don't even know like where the person you are talking to is standing, but we have to do it.
Tina Anktelt trains disability counselors. She says even in a tight labor market, getting a job interview can be hard.
People with disabilities oftentimes have gaps in resumes because of illness or recovery, discrimination that they faced in the workforce.
According to the Federal Job Accommodation Network, 6 in 10 employers report no additional cost to accommodate workers with disabilities. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This weekend, my colleague Lizzie O'Leary hosts a Marketplace special on the economics of disability and how it plays out in employment, education, and healthcare. If you can't catch it on the radio, you can download the podcast or stream it on our website, marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.